All right, John chapter 14. We are on a series called The Helper. How many can still use a little bit of help? How many can use a little bit of help in your life? I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him, but you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. These things I've spoken while abiding with you. Look at John 15, 14. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about me. And we're talking about the Helper, and this is number four. Let's pray. Father, open our eyes, our ears, our understanding, that we can get more than just head knowledge. But Lord, let it be transforming knowledge, not just information, but transforming life information. Father, we thank you for that, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated. Our church was founded on the Word of God. I don't know if you know this or not, but our name used to be Victory Bible Fellowship, VBF, we called it. And the reason was we got together as believers, and we decided to lay aside all of our beliefs that we had, all of the denominational things that we grew up in, and or the nun that we grew up in. And we began to believe that we were only going to believe what we found in the Bible. That even though it may have been tradition, it may have been taught us as a child, it may have been something we grew up in, we just decided that we were going to believe what the Bible said. And that's why we were called Victory Bible Fellowship at that point. And one of the beliefs, though, one of the great beliefs that we came out with in the Bible, having studied it together and looked at it, and we asked the Lord to open our eyes, was this belief in the need of the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives in a very real way. And back in the 70s when we began, let me just say this, the other great belief we came up with is that you could believe in the Holy Spirit and not be weird. Come on, somebody. Because there was a lot of weirdness with everybody, or let's say a lot of them that was in to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. But we believed, and I really give honor to Brother Randy Bonacarso. Randy believed in the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and yet walked with some brain power, and in terms of walked with integrity, and walked without being weird about it. We saw the gifts flow. We saw people, the Holy Spirit, have the freedom to do what He needed to do, and at the same time, not being weird about it completely. If you used to see our building out front before we renovated the front building, we used to have a cross. It was lit up with neon light and two big doves out in the front, one on each side. And it had to do with the power of the Holy Spirit. So today I'm going to talk to you about three baptisms. That's what today is about. Hebrews chapter 6 says it this way. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again. And he begins to talk about some basic foundational truths that you should know about, that you would have gotten in your life. And he says, build on those, don't leave them behind, but learn them and then grow on in them. And here's what it is. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from from dead works and of faith toward God. Are of the doctrine of what? Baptism or baptisms? Baptisms. So let me ask you a question this morning. How many times have you been baptized? Because it's a doctrine of baptisms. Now, I'm not talking about how many times have you been water baptized. How many have been water baptized more than once? Let's see your hands. I got baptized, I think it was three or four times. I said three at the morning. I think it was four times. I just wanted to make sure I got it right because I got baptized one time in a health spa, one time in a river, one time in the church here. And one time in a bathtub. Come on, somebody. So I just wanted to make sure I got it done right and I was pleasing before the Lord. But the Bible speaks of more than just, it's not talking about how many water baptisms, plural, but it's literally talking about baptisms. Let me take a drink here. All right. So I want to talk to you today about baptisms, and I want to talk to you about three particular ones. And I believe these are three major ones that every person in this auditorium ought to experience in your life. So let's begin it. Number one, the baptism into the body of Christ. Or I like to call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And literally, when we talk about it, it says the baptism into the body of Christ or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And let's read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Now look at this again. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Now read it again. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into what? One body. See, there's a baptism that happens when you gave your life to the Lord. There's a baptism that happened. Whether you know it or not, you were baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. By one Spirit, we have all been baptized into one body. When you gave your life to the Lord, you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the when the Holy Spirit baptized you into the body of Christ. That's what it means. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. It's not, listen, this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We incorrectly refer to other things as this, but it's not. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Every born-again believer has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's that when the Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. It's not the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about it in just a moment. But it's the baptism of, and it's more than just semantics. I'm not just playing with some prepositions. It's more than semantics. But when you were saved, you were baptized into the body of Christ. You were baptized into the Lord Jesus. So when you get saved, that's what happens into your life. And you can read about that. But I believe this is the first baptism, and every believer receives that automatic. This is one of those that happens whether you even thought about it or didn't think about it. You were baptized. You became part of the family of God. You were translated from the kingdom of darkness to the family of His dear Son. You were translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son. You were automatically baptized of the Holy Spirit. You were baptized by into the body of Christ by the Spirit of God. And so that's the first one. It's an automatic thing that happens. But now, the other two are choices that you make in obedience. The other two baptisms that you experience, if you can experience in your life, are baptisms that you decide whether you're going to be obedient or not. And that's my own opinion. I'm saying it that way. The other two baptisms are baptism you decide, I believe this in the Bible, I'm going to do it. I believe it. It's what it says. So that it's up to the believer whether he will be walk in obedience or not. Let me just give them to you. The second one is the baptism in water. First one is the baptism into the body of Christ called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Who does it? The Holy Spirit does it. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. The second one is baptism in water. Normally a pastor or a leader or a friend or somebody baptizes you. But listen to what it says. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Baptize. Everybody say baptizing. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's water baptism. And water baptism is not just just symbolic thing we do, just like the baby dedication we did this morning. It's not just some little symbolic thing. Let me say, Brian and Whitney, they literally before God, and when you make a promise and you give and you ask God, He listens. And when water baptism is not just a symbolic thing that you do. It does not save you. You are saved by the blood of the Lamb. You're saved by the blood of Jesus. Nothing added or subtracted. You're saved when you're saved, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ, which is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But then the Bible says Jesus commanded us to be baptized in water. What is that? That is, listen, the Bible says it's a work of grace. It doesn't save you. Doesn't save you. But it is something where it's the old man dying, the old man being cut off. It's like when you're buried underwater, you're buried with Him in baptism. You raised in newness of life. There is an act where you said, Lord, I want everything. I'm going to outwardly show what's happened on the inside. And it's more than just even that, because it's a work of grace that I've had many, many people testify and tell me, I don't know what happened when I got baptized, when I came, something was broken off me. Something that was like the old man was left behind. The old man was buried, and I came out in newness of life. The second called the baptism of water and honor. That's a whole teaching in itself, but that wasn't our focus today. The third baptism is the one I want to focus on today and show you very clearly in Scripture so that you can understand. And it is a decision on your part, as real as water baptism was. So is the third one, called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. This is John the Baptist. He was a Baptist that believed in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Let's just watch this. As for me, I baptize you with water. Now, let me tell you. John the Baptist, the reason he was called John the Baptist or John the Baptizer, nobody ever did that before. You talk about making your name stick out and having a brand name. John began to baptize people. Nobody did that. You read the Old Testament. There was nobody sitting in a river and baptizing. Nobody did that. And suddenly, before the coming of the Lord, there is, in the spirit and the power of Elijah, a man comes on the scene named John. And he begins to do what nobody else has ever done. He begins to baptize other people. When before in the Old Testament, in the New Intertestament period, people washed themselves in terms of purification and cleansing. Nobody did that for you. You didn't go to a priest and he baptized. Nobody did that. And on the scene suddenly comes this man named John, and he goes out in the River Jordan, and he's having people come to him, and he's baptizing them of repentance. It was like they were being baptized and they were being washed. It's called a washing. That's why it's called washing. It was like it was a washing away of their sins. And so it was amazing, because here, and he became known as John the Baptizer. Nobody else been like that. John the Baptizer. So listen to what he says. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I'm not fit to remove his sandals. And watch this. He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He will baptize you now with, what's the difference? Now watch this, more than semantics. When you're saved, the Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. But when, listen, the third one is he, Jesus, is going to come on the scene, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He is going to baptize you. The Holy Spirit baptizes him. But you ever notice when you read the Gospels, there's four of them. And when you read them, there's three of them called synoptic. And the reason they're called synoptic, the word means similar. And that is Matthew, Mark, and Luke are what's called the synoptic Gospels. And John is by itself. What do you mean by that? Well, it means those three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, were similar. And the reason it is, it's like this. John over here by himself chronicled mainly the first two years of the life of the Lord. When you read the book of John, you get majority of his writing is about the first 2 years of the ministry of the Lord. When you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you mainly get the last year and a half of his life. And that's why those are called synoptic. And then John is the gospel by itself, because he covered the first 2 years mainly. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke covered the last year and a half. That's why when you read them, you get a whole lot of stories in the book of John that you don't find in the other three gospels, because he concentrated on the first 2 years. And so in doing that, there are very, very, very few stories that are in all four gospels. And one of them is the birth of the Lord. It's in all four of them. One of them is the death of the Lord. It's in all four of them. One of them is the resurrection of the Lord. It's in all four of them. But very few other things are in all four Gospels. But one of the things in all four Gospels is this thing, this third baptism called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That shows you how important it was. It's in all four of them. In fact, look at this. Look at Mark chapter. We read Matthew. Look at Mark. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. There's Mark's account. Look at Luke. Luke says, John answered and said to them all, as for me, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I, not fit to untie the thong of his. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then the last one, John, who is a gospel sort of by itself. I did not recognize him, John the Baptist says, but he who sent me, God, to baptize in water, said to me, He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining. That is the best definition you can ever have of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It is when the Spirit descends and remains. You say, why is that important? It's a wonderful. See, whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, he is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. That is a wonderful definition of what we call the baptism in the Holy Spirit. See, descending and remaining, the reason that was a cue to John, the reason John could say, there's nobody else that I can ever saw that happen to, was because it never happened to anybody else. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would descend, but not remain. He would come for a season, and then he would leave. He would come and descend, and he would come. The Holy Spirit would rush on Samson at times. It would come upon him at times. He'd tear the line apart. He'd rip the gates open. It would come upon him at times. It said the Spirit would come upon him at different times. It did on Elijah. It did on Elisha. It did on David. It did on Saul. Saul was with the prophets, and the Spirit descended on him. When he got out of that atmosphere, the Spirit was not on him anymore. And God said, John, here's how you're going to know the Messiah. He's going to be the one whom you're going to see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him. And that was a key. That was a thing that, what? You mean is the things are going to be different? That the Spirit of God is going to descend upon him and then never leave him? He's not going to have it descend on him again. It's going to remain upon him. And God said, that's exactly how I would know. He was the first person that literally was going to happen to. And of all the ways that God could have put a distinguishing factor upon the Messiah for John to know, it had to do with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He said he's going to be baptized and he's going to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's going to descend upon him and it's going to remain upon him. Literally. And John, listen, Jesus exampled to us the need of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. This is very important. Jesus is going to example to us the need of having this third baptism in our life. I want to show you this. Look at John chapter, look at verse 29. Back up a little bit in context. The next day he saw Jesus, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who is higher ranked than I. He existed before me. I did not recognize him. But so that he might be manifest to Israel, I came baptizing in water. And John testified saying, I've seen the Spirit descending. And as a dove, it didn't say I saw a dove as a spirit. It says, you know, the word dove is a simile. It means you can take it out of the sentence and still have the truth of the sentence. I saw the Spirit descending upon him. I saw the Spirit descending upon him. That's how I knew who he was. That's how I knew he was Messiah. I saw the Spirit descending out of heaven, and he remained upon him. And I didn't recognize him, but he that sent me and baptized said, whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, that is going to be Messiah. Listen, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Peter, many years later in the book of Acts, he's describing the Lord. He's describing the ministry of the Lord. And remember, Jesus was God and God himself. But, listen this, listen very carefully. Not only was he God, but the Bible says he humbled himself and did not hold on to in the book of Philippians, he did not hold on the right to be called God, but he literally laid down every right he had. He kept his divinity, but he never used his divinity. He walked earth as a mortal man. He never used his divinity. He was the divine he was, but he laid it all down. The Bible, Philippians talks about how he didn't grasp and hold on being God. He came on this earth as a man born of woman and lived this earth as a mortal man would live it. And the Bible says, listen, here's how Peter describes him in the book of Acts. Go to the book of Acts. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him, what? With the Holy Spirit and with power. And went about doing good. And see, that's how he lived his life. The Holy Spirit wants to, because the Holy Spirit wants to come on every one of us and descend and remain. Now, the last words of anybody is very important. Some of you had loved ones that's gone on to be with the Lord. And you remember some of the last words they ever said to you. I've got some friends. I remember the last words they ever said to me. I never forgot them. But did you know the last words that Jesus ever said to us as a church was not go? Everybody thinks it's go into all the world and preach to God. No, no, no. That is not the last words he ever said. The last words he ever said is found in Luke chapter 24 and Acts chapter 1. Look at this. In Luke 24, listen to what he said. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father. You knew that was the giving of the Spirit. Upon you, but you are to, everybody say the next word. Stay or tarry in the city until you are clothed with power from. He said, I don't want you to go, because if you go before you get the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you're not going to do very much. Watch in the book of Acts. Watch this. He said the same thing later. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave, but to what? Wait. Not go. Wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you've heard from me. How John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And the word with can be either translated in, with, or by. This is the baptism in the Holy Spirit, or the baptism with the Holy Spirit, or the baptism by the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is what happens when you get saved. The Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. But that this baptism, Jesus baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. He baptizes you. The Spirit descends and remains upon your life. And so he tells him, don't you go anywhere. Don't you go anywhere until you receive this third baptism called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, why would he say that? You know why he says that? Because he had experienced it himself. Jesus had experienced. You know what? When you read the life of Jesus, you don't read anything happening in his life for 30 years. You never read. There's not even a fake gospel out there that says Mary, when Jesus was 7 years old, Mary walks into the bathroom where he's taking a bath. But behold, she marvels because he's walking on the bathwater. Never caught him walking on the bathwater. Never. Even when he was a teenager, he never turned water into wine. Come on, somebody. He never did these miracles. He's just like a normal. He goes down. He's subject to them. He's subject to his mind. He's growing in wisdom, growing in things. But watch this. Something happens in his life. And literally, he says, wait until you be endued from power on high. And how do you know that? For 30 years in Luke chapter 4 and verse. Look at Luke chapter 4. Jesus returned. And after he's baptized at the River Jordan, he's baptized in water by John the Baptist. He comes out of the water, and if you read it carefully, it says he went and prayed. And while he was praying, the Holy Spirit came out of heaven and came upon him and remained. It was the baptism. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And in Luke chapter 4, now he leaves. He goes through the 40 days of wilderness. But now he returns to Galilee after he's been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Notice what he says, his first sermon. He returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. News about him spread throughout all the surrounding districts. And he began teaching in all their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth where he was been brought up, and it was his custom. He entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed him, and he opened the book and he found the place where it was written. And listen to what he says. His first sermon at home was this. He said, I got to tell you about a watershed moment in my life. He said, my life is different now. He said, I know I grew up here. I know you've known me since I was a little baby. I know you know that. You know I've not done anything. I've not done anything here. I've been a carpenter, a tecton, which is really a stonemason. I made some of your furniture. You know that. But he said, something's happened in my life. Something's happened in my life that it's totally changed me. And here's what he said. The Spirit, come on somebody, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Upon me. Everybody say upon me. That's what happened at the Jordan River. Baptized in water, and then he comes out, he's praying, and the Holy Spirit descends and remains upon him. And his first sermon back at home says, I know you know, you know me, but things are different now. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal this. The Spirit of God is upon me now. I've experienced something. I'm different. It's not just that there's some magical time that happened and then suddenly because I'm 30 years old, suddenly I'm going to. No, 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 no. I've experienced something in my life that's changed me. The Spirit of God has fallen upon me. I've experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And now he's anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal the sick. Things are different now in my life. I'm the same person, but I'm not the same person. I've got the same, you know, hair color and eyes and skin tone and clothes, but something's happened to me. I've experienced a baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so he says the Holy Spirit is upon me to preach the gospel. And he begins to list all the different things. If Jesus had written an autobiography, I guarantee you that that day at 30 years old would have been a big chapter. The day the Holy Spirit came upon me. My baptism in the Holy Spirit. It changed me. You know, there are great... I took my staff just through a book called All the Great Soul Winners Were Baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it was written by John R. Rice, who was a ultra-conservative Baptist. Did not believe in Pentecostalism, didn't believe in any of that, but he had integrity enough to know in the Bible it shows a third baptism called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I think what we did wrong as a charismatic and Pentecostal work was we emphasized one gift over everything else and said, if you didn't have that gift, then you're not baptized in the Holy, which was silliness. Because I believe, listen, that when the Holy Spirit comes in, he comes in with all his gifts and all his fruit and all his power. Not just limited to one. There's no one thing you can say, this proves everything. That's it's not in there. You make assumptions, that's not in there. So let me tell you this. Here's what I had to do one day. I had to come to the place where either I was going to believe my dogma and what my church taught me, or I was going to believe what the Word of God did. Jesus stood amongst a group of people one day, and here's what he said to them. He said, your traditions have nullified the Word of God. Do you know how that happens? When you read something plain as your face, and you think, well, that's not how we grew up in. That's not how my church was. That's not what we grew up. Then you've allowed your traditions to nullify the Word of God. And we came to a place when we started this work was we said we were not going to allow our traditions and what we were taught to nullify the Word. If God's Word says it, it is true. Simply because we've not experienced it, we're not going to dismiss it because our denomination or our group of fellowship or whatever it may didn't believe in it. Come on, good amen in this Presbyterian church today. One of the greatest colleges today, I believe, is the Moody Bible Institute. I don't know if you ever listen to their programs. Moody Institute is a great, great Bible school, great church and all. Did you know that D.L. Moody, who began it, D.L. Moody wrote his biography, and one of the stories in all the great soul winners were baptized in the Holy Spirit in this pamphlet. He goes through all the great soul winners. He goes through D.L. Moody. He goes through Spurgeon. He goes through you name it. I don't remember. But one of those is D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody pastored a little church, not much going on in his life. And two little old ladies one day, he gives it his autobiography, said two little old ladies come up one day and says, Brother Moody, we are praying for you that you would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And his autobiography, he writes, he says, and I very graciously informed them that I received that when I was saved. He said, they very graciously continued to pray for me. Come on, somebody. And he said, I got so desperate and so hungry for something real in my life and seeing results. He said, I began to cry out for God. And he said, I cried out and cried out and cried out. And he said, I cannot describe. He lists the moment and the night it happened. He said it was like, and here's how he describes it. He said it was like waves of liquid love just rolled over him. And from that moment, he was absolutely changed. It was just as real, he said, as the day Jesus came to that Jordan River and nothing had transpired in his life, even though he were God. And that day at the Jordan River, when the Spirit of God came upon him, and then he began to, he said, the Spirit of God's upon me. He's anointing me to do all these things. He said, Moody says, my life was never the same again. He said, it was unbelievable what happened. They weren't Pentecostal. They didn't believe in all the things that some Pentecostal. He just believed in the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon his life. And he said, I definitely know the night and the moment it happened in my life. And thank you. He said, I'd preach sermons and now where nobody would get saved. And he said, hundreds would get saved. So there was that understanding in Acts chapter 2. So there are three baptisms. And watch this in Acts chapter 2. When they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. This is the day of Pentecost. And Peter said to the rest, they said to Peter, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter is this first, listen, this is the first big altar call. And listen to what Peter says to him. This is, Peter says, repent. Here's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you repent, then the baptism, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. There's baptism number one. Repent. Watch this. And each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Here's water baptism. Watch this. For the forgiveness of your sins. And then you'll receive what? The third baptism. You'll get the baptism of in the Holy Spirit. He said, here's the whole, he's going to give them the whole enchilada. You want to know what you got to do here? You want to do? Here it is. Repent. When you do that, when you repent, when you really ask God to forgive you of all your sins and accept Jesus in your heart, then the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. Then you're baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Three of them. Three baptisms. Look at this in Acts chapter 8. It's just as, see, here's the deal. Either you're going to allow your traditions to nullify the Word of God, or you're going to say, God, I want all you got for me. If I didn't grow up in this, if I didn't experience it, this wasn't what I grew up and not used to and not comfortable with. We did it. I'm going to tell you, back in the 70s, it wasn't easy for us. I grew up in a denomination all my life that they never, ever told me this. And I had to come to the decision that I'm going to search like the Bereans did and see if these things are so or not. I'm going to be more noble than just write it off because my denomination said it wasn't true. Watch this. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. The crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip because he was telling them about Jesus. So they experienced the first baptism. They repented. They gave their lives to the Lord and they experienced the baptism into the body of Christ. And as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, they were being baptized. So here it is. They received a second baptism in water in Samaria. All right. Baptized women, men and women alike. All right. Now, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, and they sent them Peter and John, who, when they came down for them, prayed for them that they might receive the third baptism, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Do you see? I mean, you have to be blind not to see the truth. They came down, and it didn't say they came down and offered them the right hand of fellowship, and thank God they believed Jesus and they were baptized, and what? That's all they got. They came and said, no, you know, there's another baptism called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said they came out and began to lay hands on them. And they did. Look at Acts chapter 19. I showed you this last week, 25 years after Pentecost. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper county and came to Ephesus country and found some disciples. And notice this, the first words he asked them, why would you ask a question like this? Why would this be the first thing when you met some new disciples, some disciples you never met them before? Why would you ask a question like this? He looks at me and says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now watch this. This is, I don't know how many Sunday school teachers had a problem growing up in my denomination. My Sunday school teacher never taught on this verse. And here's the reason why, because here would have been our answer. And they said to him, no, we've not even heard there is a Holy Spirit. And I don't know what denomination you were up in, but that's basically what I'd have said. I didn't even hear there was a Holy Spirit. And Paul then, you can imagine Paul's eyes, he's bug-eyed. He said, what? What's this? No, we've not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Look at verse 3. And he said, that's what he's going to do. He's going to check out their salvation. See if they're really saved. He said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John. Oh, you've not received the third. Okay, we better back this ship up and find out. Then then what were you baptized? He said, we were baptized into John. Oh, okay, you're on number one. You're on number one baptism where John baptized the baptism of repentance. Watch. Into John's baptism. And Paul said, well, yeah, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is in Jesus. So when they heard this, they believed. Yeah, we believe. We repent. We believe. And when they did that, they were baptized. Then Paul said, let me baptize you in water. Let me baptize you in the name. So he baptizes them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They received. Now watch this. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Spirit of God came on them. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, you have to be dishonest not to look and say, absolutely, it's there. There was a baptism of the Holy Spirit where the Spirit baptized you into the body of Christ. There was a water baptism where they baptized you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there was a baptism in the Holy Spirit where the Holy Spirit descended and remained upon you. Everybody say amen today, would you? So we begin to understand that, listen, all through the New Testament, it's like that over and over again. I love this in 1 John chapter 5. It really makes sense to you now when you read it. John is writing, says, on the earth, he says, and there's some scriptures before this, of course, but he said, the Spirit and the water and the blood and the three are in agreement. Look at those three baptisms right there. The Spirit baptism, the water baptism, and the salvation baptism. You can read it through there if you like. So what happens? Why three? Let me tell you this. When you give your life, when you repent, literally old things pass away. When you get saved and you're baptized into the body of Christ, old things pass away, all things become new. Secondly is, when you're baptized in water, it's the symbol of the old man being left behind, being cut off. There's a cutting of the flesh and the new man coming. And then the baptism in the Holy Spirit is when you get the power to live the new. See, I'll say that again because it really was better than you responded. Let me just say that. You get the power to live the new because you can't do it on your own. You cannot live this life on your own. And so God comes and he gives the Holy Spirit. Look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me just give you an analogy here. It says, in fact, look at verse 11 first. Can you go to verse 11 and we'll come back. Now, these things happen to them as what? As our example, all right? And they were written for what? Our instructions on whom the ends of the ages have come. Now, watch this. What's he talking about? Go back up to verse 1 and 2. I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, how our fathers were all under the cloud and passed through the sea. Now, watch this. All of them were what? Watch this. Baptized into what? Their deliverer. They were baptized into their deliverer. Moses was their deliverer. And you read the book of Corinthians, it speaks about where Jesus is likened to Moses, our deliverer. They were baptized into Moses. They were baptized in the cloud. And they were baptized in the sea. Three baptisms. The baptism into the body of Christ, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of water, and the baptism in the Spirit of God. All right, look at Acts chapter 4. You know, I was baptized in 1970-something. I don't remember exactly when it was, but it was 1970-something. And one of the keys is, you might say, I've already received the Holy Spirit. I've already been filled. Yeah, you've received it, but what about being filled again? And in Acts 4:29 says, these are the same apostles and members of the church that were baptized in Acts chapter 2. Look what they ask in Acts chapter 4. Now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant your bondservant we may speak your word with all confidence. And while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place in the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit again. Can I tell you something, that you can be filled again with the Holy Spirit? If you feel like, in Acts chapter 1, we end with this verse. Watch this. Acts 1. Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The word power in the Greek it's the word dunamis, but it can be translated. It's translated throughout the New Testament by four distinct words. And let me give them to you. It's ability, abundance, meaning, and might. That's the four words that word dunamis, it's translated in the New Testament. And so I want to ask you a question. Which of these are you running low on? Which of those four that you say, my tank is pretty empty of meaning. Maybe my meaning in my life is, you know, Jesus, when he stood on that day in Nazareth, he said, I know the purpose of my life. My life's got purpose now. The Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he's anointed me. And then he began to describe what God was going to do in his life, through his life. Maybe you're running low on meaning, maybe ability. Maybe you're in a place right now where you don't have the ability to do what you have to do. I'm going to tell you, Brian and Whitney right now, they have a lot of confidence in their life and a lot of areas of their life. But you know, when you hold that new baby, you remember when you brought that baby home from the hospital, they going to let us bring this baby home? I mean, they're not going to watch us. Nobody's following us. You know how you want your mama over there, you know, to be with you that first night because every little sound you're up. Oh, yeah. And how are we going to do this? And then somebody gives you some dumb thing about how much college is going to cost by the time they get to college. I remember I had a buddy, Larry Stocks, and he said one time he was in a hospital and he said, a man, he'd come up the elevator and Larry had a bunch of kids and one of his boys were born. And he said, a man in the elevator had change in his pocket, and he was just rattling that change. And he said, brother, he said, are you okay? And the man said, triplets. I just had triplets. And maybe you're running low on ability, maybe abundance, maybe it is tight for you right now, financially, maybe emotionally. Might, maybe you need some might in your life. You know, sometimes, you know, there is a devil. How many know you need to know what the devil's doing against your family? You need to fight. There is more than just this literal life. There is a real battle happening in the heavenlies against your family. You need to know how to fight it. Everybody stand up this morning. Musicians, come on back up real quickly. I want you to lay everything aside, and I want you to do this. I want you to close your eyes just for a minute, and I want you just to, if you're comfortable with opening your hands up and lifting your hands, you can do that if you like. But here's what we're going to do today. Three things. Maybe you've never been baptized into the body of Christ. Maybe you've never really crossed that hurdle. Maybe you never crossed that. Maybe today you need the Holy Spirit has come and opened up your eyes, and you say, you know what, I've never ever really experienced the first baptism. I've never really given my life over to God. I've never really surrendered everything and said, Jesus, come on. So I want everybody just to pray with me. If maybe you're here and you want to do that today. You want to experience the first baptism become part of the family, out of the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of His dear Son. If you want to do that today and you want to just change your life, just everybody with me. Say, dear God, I ask You to forgive me of all I've done wrong. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I thank You for the blood that washes me clean. Forgive me, cleanse me, save me, Jesus. Listen, if you prayed that right now, you just experience a baptism. If you just, you do it by faith. Don't do it by feeling, you do it by faith. Feelings will come later. Feelings may come later. But this morning, what happened in your life, you just experienced a baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just baptized you into the body of Christ. You're part of the family just as real as anybody else in here. You're a part just as much as I am. You're a part now. We're all alike. Maybe you've never been baptized in water. Maybe you never had that opportunity. Maybe you were sprinkled or you know, christened. But you need to be baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so maybe anytime you want to do that, you let us know. You grab one of us on a Sunday, any of the pastors, any of the staff, and we'll be glad to arrange it. We'll get you baptized. But this morning, I really focused on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's real. And all the stuff maybe you've experienced in a bad way in the past, people doing and telling you and all that kind of stuff, let all that go away. Throw all that dogma, throw all that tradition, throw it all away. Why would you not want everything God's got for you? Listen, Jesus said one time, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask them? He said, you know, if a child asks you for bread, you're not going to give him a stone. Or if he asks you for fish, you're not going to give him a scorpion or a serpent. So he said, listen, when you ask God for the Holy Spirit, He's not going to give some evil spirit come in. All that stuff, throw all that nonsense away. And so this day, what we're going to do, we're going to ask Jesus to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask Him to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. They did it corporately in two or three of the instances. Other times they laid hands on people. But today, I want to do it corporately. I want you to get ready. I want you to ask, Jesus, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit. And so I want you to do that. I want you to just close your eyes and get ready. And we're just going to ask the Lord to do this. Jesus, I ask You right now, Lord, that You would baptize us afresh and new in the Holy Spirit. Those that for the first time have never experienced it, and those that have been, but Lord, they're kind of empty. Lord, fill us afresh and new with the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, You're the baptizer. You came, Lord. You experienced it in Your own life. You know what difference it makes. So Lord, we ask you right now, baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Baptize us in the power and the majesty of the Holy Spirit. Baptize us, Lord. Baptize us. Fill us afresh and new, Lord Jesus. Let the Spirit descend and remain upon us. Let it fall upon us, Lord. Let it fall upon us. Let it be the strength and the power, the dunamis of God, the might, the power, the abundance, the meaning of life. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. We glorify you. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you. You want to give it more than we want it. Lord, we thank you. You're the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. You and you alone. So we look to you, Jesus. Thank you for pouring out of your Spirit. Thank you for baptizing us beyond just head knowledge. Lord, come on, Lord. Let it be a reality in our life. Let us experience the baptism in the Holy Spirit today. Lord, we glorify you. We need it, Lord. We needed it more than you needed it, Father. We need it in our lives. And so we glorify you. We thank you in Jesus' name. I want to sing this song as we do, just to continue to ask the Lord. Come on. Faith can move. Come on.
Mountains.
Come on, just keep praying. Say, Lord, baptize me. Say, Lord, baptize me. Baptize me, Lord.
Waiting here for you.
Ooh, yes, Lord. You, Jesus. Waiting here for you. Jesus. Jesus. Say, baptize me, Jesus.
You're the Lord of all creation.
They that ask can keep on asking.
Still you know my heart.
Seek and keep on
You're
seeking.
The author of salvation.
Knock and keep on knocking. Come on, keep asking. Say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit fall. Baptize me, Lord, in the Holy Spirit. Baptize me, Father. Fill me. Oh, we thank you, Lord, today. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We lift our hands. Lord, we lift our hands. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, and we
adore.
Ooh, Jesus. I want you to do this. You know, the Bible says in the Greek, it's a repetitive verb. It says, those that ask and keep on asking, those that seek and keep on seeking, those that knock and keep on knocking. If you're hungry and you're fed up and you're running low on abundance, you're running low on meaning of life, you're running low on ability, you're running low on power. If you're running low and you say, Jesus, I need to be filled afresh and new. I know you never left me, but I just feel I need a fresh touch from God. I need you to do in me, Lord, what I cannot do. I need what you experienced. I need a watershed moment of my life where I can say, I was baptized. Just like you were on that day at the Jordan River, you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you could stand and say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because there's a day and night difference in my life. I can do what I never could do before. I can live a Christian life now. I've been endued with power from on high to live this thing out. Not just try not to be bad, but I have a power in me now that anoints me to live a life, live the new. So, Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for all three baptisms. I thank you. I've experienced in my life. And, Lord, I pray for my church. I just pray every person in here will receive all three baptisms. Make that decision to follow you no matter what. And to seek you until they receive it. And we give you all the glory. Everybody said a good amen today, would you? Give a good clap offering in Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll see you next week.